Good morning once again, Kansas City. This is Pastor Rodney Barlow of Lighthouse Church of Independence. We are at 14411 East 33rd Street South. Our phone number is 816-836-7466. And I also can be reached by email at pastorbarlow@hotmail.com. We had a fantastic Easter resurrection service. Hopefully you all over the air had the same. We were rejoicing, not sorrowing, but rejoicing over the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no one like our God. There is no other God that can say it was risen or they were risen from the dead. Praise God. That is an awesome God we serve. And of course, I'm excited to continue to teach this lesson concerning our plan of salvation, to look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, what he told his disciples, what he told his apostles, and then what they actually did. The awesome thing about this study is that there was no denominations at that time. The wonderful thing about this study is looking at the Word of God right where it was. We can take a look from the first believers, the first church, the first ones that obeyed what Jesus had, the ones that understood right out of the proverbial, I'm not calling Jesus a horse's mouth, but right out of the Lord's mouth, that this is what he told them to do. They took what he told them to do, and they obeyed it. And that's what we were going to see in the book of Acts. I can throw every denominational thought process out of my mind, and I can simply look at the word, praise God, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and see, did they simply do what Jesus commanded them to do? And what did it look like? What is it that they followed? What is it that they obeyed? And I pray that as we go through those actual scriptures and look at them together, we will see beyond a shadow of doubt three main things the Lord said we must do. Four things, obviously, because belief is first. He that believeth, and our tenet scripture is Mark 16:16. As you guys can see, I'm getting right into this. All right, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believeth. And we all heard it. We hear it on TV. We hear it on the radio. Just believe, and then you're saved, and that's it. But that's not in the Bible. The Bible tells us here, and who is speaking? Jesus Christ is speaking. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You got to go back to my lessons. I can't repeat everything that I've already taught, but we have taught that baptism is spiritual circumcision. Circumcision was the key covenant sign of God's people in the Old Testament. Transferred over to the New Testament in Colossians 2 and 12, we are going to see that baptism is spiritual circumcision. Now, we know that Jesus said this in Luke 24:47. Again, I'm reiterating our lesson from 2 weeks ago. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And John 7:38-39, he that believeth on me, so not your own way, but it says, believes on me as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we cannot take on our own definition of what belief is. We have to believe what the scripture says belief is. In other words, our belief definition cannot come from Webster's. Our belief definition must come from the Word of God. You have to believe on me as I have called you to believe on me. And if you believe on me as the scripture has said, Jesus said in John 7:38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John clarifies the statement that much further, and he says he was speaking about the Spirit. He was saying that when you believe on him, you should receive. But at that time, when Jesus actually said those words, John was saying at that moment the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But if you study the scripture a little bit more, and we are going to have an entire lesson on the Holy Ghost, because people have misinterpreted what the Holy Ghost is. People have made it some spooky, scary, demonic thing, and that's absolutely false. And I will prove it to you in the Word of God when we go specifically into our Holy Ghost lesson. Praise God. I can't wait till we get that. All right, let me slow down. So, to summarize the teaching of Jesus, as we go through chronological order of what Jesus said and what the New Testament apostles did, we are going to ask ourselves, are we lining up to that blueprint? All right, the salvation message has to begin at Jerusalem. Peter has to have the keys. We must believe according to Mark 16:16 and John 7:38. We must repent according to Luke 24:47. We must be baptized, praise God, after we believed according to Mark 16:16. And it would be the remission of sins that would be in his name that would be preached. And we know his name is Jesus, according to Luke 24:47. And believers should receive the Holy Ghost according to John 7:38. Now, let's go over and see what they did in obedience to what Jesus spoke. What I just gave you is what Jesus actually said that was penned and recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now let's see if they are going to follow what he said. Acts 1 and 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, which of course is what? The death, burial, and resurrection. You just celebrated that a few days ago. By many infallible proofs. Infallible proofs means there is no iota of falseness concerning the truth of the resurrection. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the apostles, these disciples, after Jesus Christ was resurrected, for 40 days, they are listening intently concerning what he's talking to them about the kingdom of God. They're preparing themselves to be obedient to what he's about to set up here on earth. Of course, they thought he was going to set up his earthly kingdom, and he says, not for the times or the season, but this is what I want you to do. And he told them in verse 9, and he spoke these things while they beheld. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What did he tell them to do before he left? He said, go wait for the promise. I want us to look at that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus is about to ascend into glory. Jesus is about to, praise God, be in the right hand of all authority in heaven. But before he leaves, he tells his disciples this, Acts 1 and verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Look where it starts, both in Jerusalem. That's the starting place. And in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Of course, that's where we come in as, praise God, U.S. citizens. So we know it starts there in Jerusalem. Now look at verse 12. After they were gazing, the angel said, why are you staring here? Go do what he told you to do. So they returned unto Jerusalem, verse 12, and from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. It took all day, but they had to get to where the Lord told them to go. Now, I'm going to summarize this. Because, again, I'm going to have a whole lesson that will deal specifically with this heading of scripture. And that is Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the Holy Ghost was poured out. I'm going to go into that a different day. But today, what I am going to tell you is what happened after they received the Holy Ghost and after they began to speak in new tongues. The Bible says all those that were there were in Acts 2, verse 12, and they were all amazed and they were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So after the resurrection, after they go to the upper room, after the Holy Ghost falls, they're speaking in an unknown language or in tongues. And they're hearing also their own language from these different parts of the earth. And they thought these men were drunk. Now, who stood up to stay and stand against it? Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. So who is the one with the authority? The one with the keys that we talked about. The keys were given to Peter. And Peter is the one who began to preach to them at this moment in time. If you read verses 14 through 36, you will hear Peter preaching the word of God. You will hear Peter talking about that the Holy Ghost that they hear happening right now in front of them was prophecy from their own prophet, the prophet Joel. Read Joel chapter 2. And then he tells them that they were the very ones that crucified the Lord and Christ. And because they understood he was right, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said this in verse 37. Pricked means they were convicted. They felt bad. They knew they were in the wrong. Verse 37 of Acts 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Please understand again the purpose of me talking about this in the first place. We are trying to say, am I following what the first church followed after Jesus Christ was resurrected? Am I being obedient to the same steps that the apostles gave those that were yielding themselves in faith and in repentance to what they had now heard and felt from Peter? So, of course, Peter, as we read, he was the one with the keys of the kingdom. And so whatever Peter's response is concerning a direct question to their conviction, men and brethren, what shall we do? We all have to tear down our denominational walls and simply look at the response of Peter and ask myself, am I obeying what he said to the direct question? So look at the next verse. We read verse 37. We will now look at verse 38, which is the response of Peter. Verse 38, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you. He did not say some of you. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say to join the local church. He didn't say to be welcome into the fellowship of such and such church. He said you must repent and you must be baptized. And he tells you how you are supposed to do it. Please excuse my excitement, because when I read scriptures such as this, I mean no disrespect, but it is in plain English. The commandment is clear that this is what he ordered the first church to do. You need to repent and you must be baptized. But when you are baptized, you cannot be baptized any way you want to be baptized. You cannot be baptized by some traditional formula. You must be baptized according to the one who was given absolute authority on earth to have the keys of the kingdom. And obviously, if he tells us to do this, he heard it from Jesus, who had just for 40 days after his resurrection told his apostles what they were supposed to do. And so he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we continue the study. I am going to hit. I am going to hammer. I am going to absolutely belabor the point. And I'm going to do my best as be under control as I possibly can. But I'm doing my best to communicate to believers out there, to Bible followers out there, that the Word of God is plain in front of us, the way and the mode that we are commanded to be baptized. And I'm not going to just show you this scripture here, an isolated incident. I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture and show you historically and show you even out of the mouth of the Catholic Church that this was the mode the first church was baptized in. And so if you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, please don't hear, quote unquote, a denominational preacher. Please don't hear that I have some label on my title or I have some label on my name. Throw that out as I do. The only thing I want you to see is your mind and your ears and your eyes are focused on actual scripture that tells you how they did it. And they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And why did they do it? It says, for the remission of sins. We made it clear in our deduction, in our chronological order of looking at scripture, that Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, I'm going to read it again. Jesus said this. He said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. They are being obedient to what he told them to do. He says it should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when we find ourselves here at Acts 2:38, we hear that Peter is only repeating what he was told in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Again, to keep it in context in your mind, Luke 24 and 47 was Luke's historical documentation of a time period that it was absolutely after the crucifixion. This was after the resurrection. So this was a part of that time period, that 40 days that Luke reiterates in his writings of Acts, that says for 40 days, Jesus was talking to his disciples concerning the kingdom of God. And a part of the kingdom of God, Jesus told them, was that repentance, praise God, and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And so when Peter stood up and preached, he only obeyed what Jesus told him to do. And he says, when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it will be why? For the remission of sins. When you are baptized, again, it is a spiritual circumcision to remove yourself from the flesh. And it is a spiritual operation of God. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus, then you allow yourself to have all your old sins removed and buried in the grave. And because of it, the Bible says in verse 38, the last part, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he tells them this is just what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, that the Holy Ghost was going to come. Praise God. I know I'm excited. I hope you can feel the excitement. I hope you can feel the Word of God getting a hold of you right now. I'm hoping you are seeing the Word of God gave us clear instruction to repent, to be baptized, and not be baptized anyway, but to be baptized a specific way, a way. I don't care what denominational world says. I'm reading the Word of God, and the Word of God says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we are again, our study, our focus is not on what tradition says. Our study, our focus is on what did the first church do? And then they received the Holy Ghost. So what was spoken by Jesus? Repent. What was spoken by Jesus? Mark 16:16, believe and be baptized. Remission of sins in my name. Believers will receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Peter confirmed it. Peter lined up with it. Peter said, repent. Peter said, be baptized. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, for the remission of sin. Peter said, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at Luke 24:47. Look at Acts 2:38. Look at Mark 16:16. Look at Acts 2:38. Look at, again, Luke 24:47. Look at Acts 2:38. Look at John 7:38, and then look at Acts 2:38. They are line upon line. They are precept upon precept. It is a confirmation of what they received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know Jesus himself was baptized. We know that he himself went up out of the water. And we know that word baptized means baptizo in the Greek. And the only definition of that word is immersion. You cannot even say baptized unless you mean immersion, because they mean one and the same. And so when Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, he was saying, Peter, I'm going to teach you exactly what I want you to preach when I am no longer here. And when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are going to be a witness. So when they received the Holy Ghost and the world said, what is going on? Peter made clear what was going on, and he gave them the message. And remember, as best as you can, the message came after a question. The message came after the inquiry of a people who knew they were guilty, a people who knew they were wrong, a people who knew that they had crucified this Jesus. And they said, what must we do? Peter's response in Acts 2:38 was an answer to that question. All right, let's see what else we can find in the Word of God concerning this topic about being baptized and it being an important, necessary action to be born again. John chapter 3, we find a Pharisee. His name is Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night because he did not want to be seen with Jesus, because the Pharisees were not in agreement with Jesus. The Pharisees did not like Jesus. So John 3 and verse 1, let me start with that, and then I'm going to have to fade on out of here. But I tell you what, we're going to get back and continue in this study. Look at John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What I want you guys to understand grammatically is that in these two verses, there was no question posed to Jesus. Nicodemus was making a statement. Nicodemus was validating the work of Jesus. Nicodemus was saying, you got to be from God, even though he did not ask a question but gave a statement. Jesus talked to him like he asked a question. Jesus said in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand what in the world Jesus was trying to communicate. But Jesus digs in a little bit deeper. Verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Think about circumcision, right? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you. Don't wonder what I said unto you. He says you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Jesus made it absolutely clear. You must have water. You must have the Spirit in order to be born again. So we understand, absolutely, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is absolutely a part of the salvation equation, but also is repentance. You must turn away from your sin. You must do an about face. So belief and faith is important and necessary. Repentance is a part of that. But too many people hit the period button and stop there. It is not a period. It is a comma. You must then repent and then be baptized and be filled with the Spirit, according to Acts 2:38, according to John 3:1-8. And we will continue to dig in this to say, I must be doing what the first church did. Again, this is Pastor Rodney Barlow of Lighthouse Church of Independence. We thank you so much for listening. We want you to come back in a few weeks and be a part. God bless you.